Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, we're talking about our common struggles. Last week, we dealt with this word called stress. Today, I want to deal with failure, because here's the deal. All of us fail. All of us blow it. All of us make mistakes, right? So how do we deal with that? And we're going to look at a guy by the name of Peter who was really good at making a lot of mistakes, okay? And but we're going to look at one that's kind of maybe you wouldn't think I'd go there, but it is a failure point. Luke chapter 5. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of Sea of Galilee, a great crowd pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Now, if you've never been to Israel, the Sea of Galilee sits in a bowl. It's like this. There's the Golan Heights on one side, and then it's surrounded by hills that come down into it. And so what you have is a natural amphitheater. When you think of Jesus talking to all these people, how did he do that? No microphones, no nothing. He was just in a natural place where everybody could hear. Wasn't a lot of external noise. So he goes out in the boat on the water, and how many of you understand when you're on the water, sound is increased? Reflects. And so he's out there, he's talking to them. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper, lay down your nets and catch some fish." Master Simon replied, "We were apart all last night and didn't catch a thing." A failure.
But if you say so,
I'll let the nets down again.
And this time
their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners from the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "O Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him.
His partners,
James and John, the Zebedee,
were also amazed.
Jesus replied to Simon,
Don't be afraid.
Now on you'll be fishing for people.
And as soon as they landed,
they left everything and followed Jesus.
So what we're going to look at is a comparison between two catches
and the differences
that place and how to understand what God is doing here.
Now,
here's the thing. You and I have to make before we get into this, or anything. God never calls you to fail.
All right.
He never calls you to fail. What he calls you to might seem impossible. And you might struggle along the way. But one mistake doesn't end it.
In fact,
How you handle failure determines how successful your life's going to be.
When you fail, you get back up and go on. And what Jesus does is, here's what I want you to do. Let's keep going that way. And just because you blow it sometimes, that doesn't mean you're done.
Simon, remember,
Jesus said, "You're going to deny me." He said, I never will.
And he did, didn't he?
Well, he failed big time. But what's Jesus do? Jesus restored him. I called you to do this. So here's the initial calling. I called you to catch men. No, along the way, God knows that this is where he's going. And even when he does some things that you and I would look at as classic failures and ending everything, Jesus keeps putting him back, keeps restoring him, and keeps going on. So you and I have to believe God wants me to succeed. And failure isn't final. If you don't believe that, you're going to struggle. All right, we good? All right, so how do I do this? Let's work our way through the passage. First of all, appropriate God's presence in your life. Luke verses 1 to 3, Jesus gets in the boat. So what does that mean? It just simply means this. At some point in time, you got to get Jesus in your boat. In other words, he is here, he's with me, this is where it begins, I am not alone, God is present in my life, and I know that I am never alone, and that he never leaves me, and that he's always there. Now, for Peter, this represented his livelihood, so he brings us into his business, so to speak. Here's what you can't do. You can't separate the secular from the spiritual. Well, on my job, it's this way, and when I'm with church and Christians, it's this way. No, integrity says, the word, by definition, no matter where you are, it's always the same. And I've talked to people over the course of time where they think, well, you know, you really can't do this in my business. Yes, you can. You do it right. And so you and I have to understand that no matter where we are, we're always the same. And so I need to understand God is with me. And so whatever I have is His. Jesus says, can I use your boat? Simon gives it to him. He takes it and he uses it. Now here's the deal. Nothing in your life gets blessed until you give it to God. Nothing happens until it's in His hands. As long as it's in my hands, it's up to me. When I give it to Him and say, this is yours, now He is able to take care of it and do things with it that I can't. So when we say you give your spouse to God, what we simply say is, you quit trying to control them. You quit trying to manipulate things. You quit trying to run everything. You let God take care of things, and you just love them as they are. And let God have them. Give your kids to God. My kids aren't mine. They're God's. I'm a steward. I'm a manager. And so whatever you give to God gets blessed. Now, here's the sequence. Peter gave his boat to God. Jesus gets in the boat. Jesus uses it for His purpose, doesn't He? And then, after He had used the boat for His purpose, He took care of Peter's needs. And that's usually always the way it works. You give it to God. You do what God wants you to do with His stuff. It's all His. Let Him use it as He chooses. And then when you allow Him to do what He wants to do, He'll take care of you. But you don't come before Him. Do you get it? In other words, see, Peter, let's go out and fish and let me prove to you I've got all the fish here. And then once I do that, now can I use your boat? No, it works beforehand, doesn't it? So I have to recognize God's in my life. He's with me. He doesn't call me to fail. He calls me to succeed. But my key to my success is giving it to Him and letting Him have control of it and not me. And that's bad news for all you control freaks. And you know who you are. And so does the person next to you. Okay? Questions here? I can't stress the importance of it enough. We don't understand the principle. That's why you tithe. I give that portion to God. I give it to Him first, and then He blesses the rest. And that's the principle all throughout Scripture. If you want something blessed, Jesus, you got some food? Give it to me. He blesses it, and then He multiplies it. You follow Scripture and the work of Jesus and His ministry, that's the pattern that was always present. And that's still the pattern He works with today. Good? Otis is just sitting here. He just got back from his, do we call it a cruise? Do we call it an adventure? And what do we call it?
All of the above.
Can I tell them what you did? You want to tell them what you did? They got on a cruise ship here and took the cruise over to Europe because all the boats are trying to get over there for the summer so you can get over there cheaper. Then they...
That's the key.
Then they toured Spain, France,
Portugal.
On the boat still?
Gibraltar.
Yeah.
No, well...
You stayed on the cruise ship the whole time?
We stopped. Yes, that's where we slept.
Wow. What a deal. Okay. So they were there, and then they flew home.
Yes, to Miami.
Wow. So for 17 days?
17 days.
Now, he told me something. I don't believe him, but he told me. Out of all of this, he lost weight.
It's true. It was only 8 pounds, so it's...
Wow.
So the food was good.
So I've got a great weight loss plan for all of us.
You can sign up right here. I think the most important thing is what do we do when we fail?
Yeah.
Because when we say if we fail, we're going to. Somewhere in life, we're going to make some mistakes. How do you handle the mistakes? Some of the greatest home run hitters was?
Henry Aaron, Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
They struck out.
They struck out a lot.
Oh, man.
They struck out more times than they hit a home run.
Yeah, Babe Ruth at one time held the record for strikeouts.
So what do you learn? When you strike out, you learn to hit the ball, or you learn where the ball is coming. You just learn from every failure. We take it and learn from it and then go forward.
Yep. In fact, in baseball, if you succeed a third of the time, you're a success, you're a star.
Yeah, even less now.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So God's with you. Understand that. Understand what that means. He's just not with me and in my boat. I've given it all to him. It's his. Secondly, agree with God's plan. Agree with God's plan. Now, I want to read these two verses because if you're not a fisherman, you don't get this. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon said, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down." Couple of things here. You don't fish in the day. That still is true in Israel. You fish at night. That's when you catch fish. He's going out in the middle of the day. Remember, they had been cleaning their nets. If they go out again, what has to happen again? They got to do that all again, don't they? Now, if I'm Peter, I'm thinking, okay, you're good at being the Messiah. I'm the fisherman. And you're telling me to go do something that doesn't make any sense at all. Because here's the deal. God's plan, most of the time, won't make any sense to you. It just doesn't go the way you think it should. It's counterintuitive. He tells them where to fish. He tells them when to fish. He tells them how to fish. And he tells them, this is what I want you to do. And it just doesn't make sense. And Peter, he doesn't argue, but he just says, you know, what's going on here? And, you know, I'll do this. And so he didn't ask questions. He just obeyed. He didn't listen to his feelings. He didn't listen to his mind of this isn't rational. Because I don't know about you, but what I found out, most of the times when God's asked me to do something, it doesn't make any sense to me. In fact, it's kind of frightening. You want me to do that? That's not the way it works. That's not the way it goes. Thus, the Bible says God's ways are not our ways. God says forgive people. That doesn't make sense to me, but that's his way. And see, many times you and I get tripped up in our failures because we don't want to do what God says needs to be done in order to overcome it. And go out into the deep. You know, go out into the deep water. Well, a lot of people live in the shallow water. In the shallow water, I can control things. Something goes wrong, I can take care of it. But if you're going out in the water where something happens, I can't handle this. So many times, what happens is God's wanting us to do something, and I hear you. I kind of know what I should do. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people, you know, about, well, what does God want you to do? Well, he's leading me to do this and this, but that just doesn't make sense to me. Okay, good. That's probably because it's God. And so I have to agree with God's plan, and God's plan doesn't line up with my reasoning and my way of life. He does things differently. And the main reason is this. He does things differently so that you don't get any of the credit. So that you know it's him and not you. Because if you're in control, you want God in your boat, but I want to control it, and you can do everything, and everything that happens you've done, then you're taking all the credit. Now, you might give God, of attaboy, and way to go, and glad you're here. And, you know, you might, you know, sign him up as a silent partner type thing and be grateful for all of that. But yet there's a whole lot more to this. And God says, get in the boat and go out in the deep and cast your nets down again. And it's, here's the other thing about it. It's more work. We want the easy way out. God's way usually isn't the easy way out, is it? More effort. Do more things. I'm going to be cleaning these stinking nets again. About the time I get them clean, it's going to be time to go out tomorrow night and go fishing. How am I going to do all this? And so I've got to come to that place where even in the midst of failures and everything, I look at it and, God, I've done this, and God, I've tried this, and God, I've done this, and God, look what I've done here and how I've handled this and this. And God says, I want you to go do this. And, but God, that doesn't make sense. I have to agree with his plan. And his plan, doesn't, you can't figure it out. That's why you have to live by faith. Questions? Comments? Yes. Yep. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, too. But his faith, you know, his example influenced other people. And your example will influence other people as well. Yeah. There's other boats. We're going to see them in a moment. Okay? Okay. Thirdly, anticipate God's promises. Now, this goes back to kind of what I started at the beginning because it's such an important thing. Jesus didn't tell Peter, if you go out into the deep, you're going to catch a bunch of fish. That's nowhere in his instructions, is it? He just says, go do it. Now, what you and I do is, okay, God, if I go do that, what's going to happen? We try to reason it out, don't we? And so you and I have to say, if God tells me to do it, he hasn't called me to fail, there's a purpose behind it, and if I do it, it will work out right. And that's hard for us, isn't it? To believe that if I do the things God wants me to do, everything will work out right. And so at this time, the nets were so full, the fish, they begin to tear. And so Peter did what God said. Because the issue here is obedience. It's not about what would have happened. It's the obedience factor. And if you obey God, God will provide. Now, I've talked to you this before several times, but let me do it again. What do we usually do in our prayers? God, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. God, if you'll just get me out of this mess, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. God, if you'll just get me out of this mess and get me out of this financial bind, I'll begin tithing again. God, if you'll get me out of this mess, okay, I'll go to that person and make it right. God, if you'll just get me out of here, then I'll do this. And that's usually how we bargain with God, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that doesn't work? Because we have it backwards. Every time in Scripture, God says, here's how it works. God says, if you'll do this, then I will do this. It's always us first, then God. It's never God first and then us. And so I have to anticipate, if I do what God tells me to do, everything is going to work out good. God tells me how to get along with this person, and I do it, even if that person doesn't care, and if that person treats me wrong, but I still do what's right, everything will work out. If I give that last dollar that I got because God's pressing on me to give it away to somebody who might misuse it, but God still wants me to give it, I give it because if I do and obey God, God will provide what's needed. You see, we want to give and then make sure, did you do this right? Did you handle this? You know, is it handled? I tell people, well, how do I know if I give somebody? What's being told you in here? There's been times when people have asked me for money and I've just felt like, no, I can't do this. And I've told them that. No, it's not the time. There's been other times I've been asked for money and there's just something within me that says, yes, do it. So if I give it to them, once I give it to them, it's no longer my concern. I don't care if they go out and blow that money. It doesn't matter. I've just done what God called me to do. And if I'll do what he calls me to do, he'll take care of me. If I'm still, oh, you did this, and I can't let you do this, then I haven't given it, have I? because I'm still controlling it. When you give your offering, you no longer get to control it. Because if you control it, you haven't given it. And so I have to anticipate, if I will do what God says to do, it's going to work out good. Peter went out and did what he was told. Comments? Yes. Right. It doesn't always play out the way we think. Peter might not have better, and then this is the case of better. So full, the boats, the nets begin to tear. That's pretty impressive. All right? Allocate the provision. Allocate the provision. Verse 7 comes up here where we look at what God is doing, and they shared their catch with others. The boat's so full, they're beginning to sink, the nets are tearing, and they begin to call the others over. It's what Scott mentioned. Now he shares what he has. Another principle. God always expects you to share his blessings. All right? That doesn't mean that if you get a windfall financially that God has provided, that you have to distribute it among everybody else. It just means that you're willing to share it. You can share it by doing something. You can share it by saying something. You can, by talking about it, by expressing appreciation. God's been good. Look what God did. You know, he expects you to share it. He shared the catch with others. And so whatever God does in our life, he wants you to share. What is he going to do for Peter? Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Let's go to the big blow up, the big failure that Peter had. You know, he denied Christ. What's Jesus say to him? Feed my sheep. Go on and share what I'm giving to you. Don't just keep it to yourself. Go on and give it. Now, what's the last thing he wanted to do? He didn't want anybody to know, and he didn't think he had anything to say. And what's Jesus telling him to do? You go and share this. You go and give it away. Don't just keep it to yourself. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Keep going. You're still going to be used. Don't hold up. Don't hold up. And come to that place where you're willing to share what God's given. Because here's the deal. You know, even he multiplies the fishes. They feed everybody. There's 10 baskets full. They're going to share. As we've talked about, God usually provides an abundance. And he provides an abundance so that you have something to give away. He will provide for you an abundance of joy so that you have joy to give away. He provides for you an abundance of compassion so that you have compassion to give away. And so whatever he gives to you, he expects you to share it with other people. But what do we tend to do? We tend to hoard it, don't we? It's mine. Look at what I have. Because he says, look, if you'll give it away, I've got more to give you. But if you keep what you've got, children of Israel, they're in the desert, he's going to feed them. He tells them, look, when you go out, I want you to just take the manna you want for today. Today will be enough. That'll be enough for you to take care of. But what do they do the first few times? Extra, right? I just got to be sure. I want to hold it up. I want to be safe. I want to take care of this. I want to know I got security. And what happens? It starts to rot, right? It goes bad. Nothing worse than dead stinking fish. Okay? So what he says, look, if you don't give it away, it'll start rotting away in your life. And you'll hold on to it and hoard it and you'll regret it. And so you and I give away. Why? Because we know God has more to give. And that's called trust, isn't it? That I'm willing to keep giving because God will keep giving. And the moment I stop giving is the moment I've stopped God from giving. And so God says, look, I want you to take what you have and I want you to give it to me. If you'll give it to me, I'll bless it. And when I bless it, I'll give you more. And when you have more, I expect you to allocate it to other people. That's the life of Christianity. Right, we give it the right attitude and the right heart. And so it's a, us ministers, if we could just get people to understand this concept, it would change so many things in people's lives. That the more you give, the more you get. And the more you get, the more you have to give away. And you'll never outgive God. But as God keeps giving, if you can, you can stop God. And you stop him by you hoarding what you have and not sharing it. A huge principle of how to live with God.
I think it's the greatest principle in the Christian life. And if we don't understand this part of it, our attitude changes. Mm-hmm. It's to get. When I was maybe 2 years old, it was, I could live with that. You know, I want this, this is mine, this is mine. 3 years old. After a while, we're supposed to grow up. And we're supposed to realize how important it is to be a giver than just a receiver. And when we do receive, give, receive graciously.
Yep.
But God has given us something that's so great. It's called salvation.
Yep.
You feel so great to give that away
yeah.
to someone else.
Yep. And God gives you time. How do you get more time? You give your time away. You know, something I learned a long time ago in church work. If you want somebody to do something, find somebody who's busy. The busy people will give. The people who aren't doing anything, they don't want to give. They won't do it. You learn to give it away. God gives you more energy and more time to do it. Just this principle flows so far through your walk with God and how God operates and how God works. He wants me to succeed. He's called me to be successful. If I'll give to him everything that I have and everything that I own, and I'll let him have it and be in control of it and recognize it's his, and I'm just the manager of it, he'll take care of it and let him use it, and he'll bless me in return. And then whatever he gives to me, will I continue to use it and to give out and to give away to others? That's what life is for, to give it away. Here's how he said it in another place. If you want to find your life, lose it. You know, if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, I'll give you life. But that doesn't fit in our security theme, does it? We fight to be secure. So let's hoard everything we got because who knows when we'll need it. And we got more stuff that we'd know what to do with. Rather than being a giver and giving away, then God gives us more. Good? Okay. Accurately see the big picture. These next two verses to me, I love because it shows us our nature and who we are. And so Peter begins to recognize, look at the fish, look at what happened to the nets, look at what's going on in the boats, look at what's taking place. And suddenly as he's looking at all that, Peter sees himself. He sees him. And what's his response? Verse 8, when he realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, you want to be my business partner and work with me for the rest of your life? We can make a lot of money together. Nah, not what he said, is it? Leave me. What a response, huh? What a response. Leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. Ever feel like that? Boy, a lot, huh? Yeah, he was awestruck by what God had done. He was so in awe of God that he didn't feel like he was qualified to be around him. You see, sometimes when God does stuff for us, you and I don't feel like we deserve it, do we? But here's the secret, we don't. But that's God. He gives this to us anyway. And it's good for us to understand who we are, that what's going on. And Peter just looks and says, wow, I can't handle this. This is too much. Leave me alone. I can't deal with everything that's happening here. and you get so awestruck with what God's done and His goodness to you and His blessings to you, and you feel so undeserving. But that's the key to begin to appreciating everything that God's done in your life. And so Peter begins to see the bigger picture all of a sudden. Now, you think Jesus set him up? You know He did. Because now that he sees this big picture, he's going to be open to the calling, isn't he? And so Jesus puts this into place and says, look, I'll do more, incredibly more than you can ask or imagine. And Peter's response, oh man, I don't know that I can handle all of that. And so, get away. And then, a key to it, avoid panic. Avoid panic. Notice verse 10, his partners. So here's all the other boats. Here's his partners that are here with them. They're the ones in the other boats that have got some of the fish. James and John, sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus says to Simon, Simon says, get away from me. And he says to him, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. What do you have to battle to do all of this? Fear. We live in a world that is great at generating fear. The media is great at producing fear. We're entering hurricane season. Now, if you've lived down here at any time at all, you understand the meaning of the word fear. Oh no, there's a storm way out here. It could be headed this way. You better get your stuff ready. This could hit us. This could be the one. Blah, blah, blah. Now, they could be right. I mean, there's a chance. Fear. People move away from here during this time of year. Why? Fear. I don't want to be around all that stuff when it happens. You know, a storm braces the other coast, and you have people calling you from Minnesota. That happened to you? What happened? What took place? You know, all the stuff. It's fear, it's fear, it's fear, it's fear. And your biggest battle is going to be your fear. The fear that God doesn't want me to succeed. The fear that if I give it away, I won't have anything left. The fear that I can trust God to take care of my needs in my life. The fear that even though I'm not deserving, He still loves me and still cares for me and still wants to save me and still wants to use me. Fear is your biggest battle. That's why often throughout Scripture and throughout the ministry of Jesus, He says this repeatedly, do not be afraid. Don't fear. I'm with you. I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. You don't have to be afraid. And anytime you're dealing with fear in your life, you can know that's not God. Okay. Now, I want to have the fear of the Lord, a little different subject, but I can't be afraid of what life's going to bring my way because God's with me, God's called me, God wants me to succeed. I'll do the things, I'll give it to God, I'll let Him take care of it. He'll provide for me, He'll help me. Even when I fail, He's still there to pick me back up, to take care of things, and I don't have to be afraid. And what does Jesus tell Simon? Simon says, get away from me. I can't deal with this. I don't know what to do. And Jesus says, Simon, don't be afraid. I'm going to use you. It's okay. You failed before, but that's all right. We'll work this out. Your biggest battle is fear. Plain and simple. So how are you going to fight that? That becomes the key to overcoming failure. You see, you fail, you're afraid that this is it, this is the end, I can't get any better, I'm not going to be able to go any farther, God's not going to be able to use me, I'll never recover from this, I'll never get back. God will take care of you, and He'll help you. Comments? Questions? We good? Yes? Right. That's a good acronym, except it's not always true. Sometimes it's real evidence that is real, that I do have to deal with, and that is, I'm seeing things correctly. Peter saw things correctly. It was an overwhelming thing, but sometimes there's some things that are generally there that will put fear into people's lives, but I have to not allow that to dictate to me my decisions in life. Yes? Yeah? Yeah. Usually when you're running away from God, you run into God. And so you and I have to understand, I'm not going to live in fear. If I fail, I can get back up. God's not done with me. God's still going to use me. It's okay. All right? Tied into that last verse, abandon the past. Abandon the past. Now, you and I just read this sometimes, but we don't think about the implication. Notice what it says in verse 11. As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. They left boats full of fish. They didn't stop and clean them. They didn't stop and sell them. They didn't stop and fix the nets. They didn't stop and do everything. They brought the boats to the shore and left. Wow. I wouldn't want to be in that town for a few days. They left it all. And so what you and I, again, have to battle is if I'm going to overcome failure, I have to leave it behind. And I have to go forward and not sit there and wallow in it. I walk away, I go on, I keep moving. And they left it all. And you and I have to deal with it in the same way. To come to that place where no matter what's happened, no matter how bad I've failed, I get back up and go forward and I leave the past behind. You've heard me say it over and over. I learn from the past, but I don't live in the past. I mean, the past can be a great instructor to teach me about some things that I need to learn. But I don't let it control my future. And fear causes me to do that. Fear will keep me down. God says, I want you to get back up. Jesus says, okay, we're here. I want to use you. I'm going to make you fish for men. Come follow me. And they left it all behind. I would just like to know how that played out. That would just be kind of interesting to me. The rest of the family come and get it? Did somebody else be there? Were there other people involved? But, you know, I don't know. We're not told. But here's the deal. They walked away. What a step of faith, right? What a step they had to take in order to do what God wanted them to do. And so at some point I have to walk away and I have to leave the failure behind and keep going forward knowing that God's going to be faithful. So failure is a part of life. We all do it. But you don't have to be defined by your failure because God came to help you succeed. And the one who calls you, the Bible says, is faithful and he will help you succeed. Got it? See you next week.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.